Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. Swayed at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, coming up in just a moment, Michael Lett, CEO and founder of Invest USA, talking about the State of the Union address. Judd Garrett will be here with his latest Follow the Leaders. And in the second hour, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, with his latest, including Emotions. Yes. Well, Tuesday's State of the Union address by President Joe Biden left a lot of questions in its wake, especially surrounding police officers. The president called for America to finish the job on police reform just days following the tragic death of Tyre Nichols in Memphis. To further push the initiative, Biden even invited Tyre's family. Quote, I know most cops and their families are good, decent, honorable people. The vast majority, they risk their lives every time they put on their shield, he said during one of his most powerful moments of the night. Quote, but what happened to Tyre in Memphis happens too often. We have to do better. Unquote. But while the president's statement resonated with some people, he reflected on getting police the training they need, including increasing resources to reduce crime as a whole, community intervention programs, and further investment in housing and job training. That said, however, he did very little to provide comfort to the police. He falsely continued to state that America was one of the safest nations, even in the face of rapidly growing crime rates in several cities, and there was no mention of what was happening with his, quote, fund the police, unquote, bill that he insisted get put into place months prior. So was the whole thing for show, or will Biden actually support an initiative to protect police officers and the Border Patrol officers that he's criticized all too often in the past? Well, with us now to discuss this further is Michael Letts, a law enforcement veteran, 30 years experience. Michael is president, founder, and CEO for Invest USA, an organization that provides bulletproof vests to police officers throughout various charitable groups and sponsorships. And his expertise should prove very useful in this matter. Welcome back, Michael. How are you?
Always a privilege, Chuck. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
All right. Question. After watching the State of the Union, what do you think about President Biden's attitude toward police officers as a whole? What more can he do to provide the support they need?
Well, I think the first thing we have to clarify, Chuck, is his intent. He obviously has no regard for law enforcement. He is a very adept liar. And from that standpoint, now you can begin to understand why nothing's been done to take care of the violent crime increase across this country. Let's talk about what he said and what the truth is, because they're very, very different aspects. First of all, he says, okay, let's finish the job for police reform. In other words, we have started something. We're going to really finish it and make police great. No. What is his definition of police reform? Let me make it very clear to your listeners, something they can very easily understand. One of the things that they're pushing for is policy and procedure changes, how you arrest an assaulted, okay? Now, the issue with this is you're not talking about how you arrest somebody who had a speeding ticket or, you know, a shoplifting. We're talking about full-scale, someone who is attempting to get out of police custody, whatever means is necessary. So they're fighting you tooth and nail. He wants to make sure that you clearly understand that you cannot use this particular hold, you cannot grab him this particular way, you cannot touch him this particular method, otherwise you will be charged for, you know, excessive force on a take, what we call a takedown. Here is what I want your listeners to very clearly understand the practicality of this. Chuck, when you are in a life and death struggle situation, if you hesitate for a moment, just for a split second, to decide, oh, I don't know if I can do that or not, I'm going to get charged, you're dead. End of discussion. You are dead. And what he has done now is to make a very clear message to law enforcement across the country. I don't care about your life. I don't care whether you die or not. You just make sure that that criminal that you're messing with gets to come home at the end of the day and gets all the benefits and respect that he, quote-unquote, so rightly deserves. That's insulting, Chip. That's insulting.
Well, should he be putting in some effort as well, or could some people say his hands are tied within his own administration?
Well, there's no question his hands are tied. When it becomes obvious that when he leaves the podium, he doesn't know that there are imaginary people in front of him. He's trying to shake hands with nobody's there, and he doesn't know where he's at. That's very sad. But even that being said about the president himself, any administration who thinks lowly of law enforcement and justice and equal justice, and who believes in a two-tiered justice system, weaponizing the federal government, et cetera, shows that they have gone over the line for socialism. That's communism. And they need to be immediately locked up and tried for treason. And you say, what are we going to do with them? Hey, we'll call Russia and say, look, we got a few of your people escaped. We're going to send them back. Our China won. He's so close in with China. Send them back to China. But that was the first thing. The second thing that was in his State of the Union address, talking about the lies and how it affect law enforcement, I'm going to stop fentanyl. That was his ringing call. I looked at him, and I spoke to the TV, kind of like, oh, so we're going to start construction on the wall and complete it by tomorrow afternoon? They have no intention of doing anything to stymie the drug that are pouring across by the cartels because of keeping open borders. That's their intent. He directly lied to the people. Some of the other things that he mentioned, I thought it was very telling that I kept waiting for the comment to be made about, oh, by the way, we brought in over 10,000 Afghan refugees during the debacle of the evacuation of Afghanistan, but that's to keep you people on your toes. That's going to help law enforcement. That's going to make our community safer. Of course, we all know the truth of the matter is he did do that. He brought in over 10,000 on the terrorist watch list, never vetted, dumped them all across this country, and expects law enforcement to do the impossible, to protect the American people when he keeps pouring these kind of folks in across the border. And here's what's so sad, Chuck, is he could have taken this opportunity. The crime bill we're talking about with additional dollars? He could have said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure that you do have, all first and foremost, the necessary salary equipment. Chuck, you get what you pay for. We pay law enforcement the lowest in the world. And then we complain when we have to lower the standards to get anybody to apply. Even then, lowering the standards, you can't get anybody to apply anymore. We are quickly headed to a situation to where we will be an anarchy. And every man will fend for himself. And this president is leading the way. And he's shown that by having absolutely no desire to advance a police bill that does the things that we need done, giving resources to make sure their salaries so they don't have to work two or three different jobs to make ends meet, making sure they have the necessary protective equipment. The invest is not needed so that they would all have active shooter vests, making sure that allocation is provided for mental support. PTSD is very real, especially when you deal with folks of this kind of caliber day in and day out as your life's goal. And there are a number of other things that could have been done. I never heard a single word about it, Chuck. The only thing I heard about was telling how great we are, how safe we are, which is a total lie again.
Well, and going back a little bit here, Michael, when you were talking about, the fentanyl coming across, and he made this statement, oh, yes, and we're going to take care of that fentanyl problem. We're going to put these modern sniffing techniques, right there where they're coming in at the border and where we check them and all that, Well, that's not where the fentanyl's coming across, the biggest percentage.
Exactly.
It's being snuck across where he ain't going to have no machines, you know what I mean?
90% is coming across where there's no detection. You're exactly right. That's how they get the people across at the same point.
Right now, the way it is, the officers, they are in a life or death situation, right? Especially
correct.
On the training they're not getting and things like that. And thank goodness you're here, and you have the Invest USA, which is one of the biggest protections they've got, I guess. Maybe the biggest protection.
It is right now, unfortunately.
Why would Biden say that America is the safest nation in the world, with crime being so out of control as it is in several states?
You know, it is interesting. You know, just to show you how they lose their mindset, I think is the best way to say it. Because you remember their narrative is, we want to get rid of guns so we can control the people. Mm-hmm. So I've got to get you scared, Chuck, that there's enough violent crime out there and that the current local police can't do anything about it. They're buffoons, so you got to let me bring in my weaponized federal agencies to take your guns away, and that will take care of all the crime. And that's counterproductive to me giving you a narrative that, oh, you're living the safest place in the world. So they just sometimes their lies feed on themselves, and they just trump each other, and they really don't understand even what they themselves are saying.
Well, if you had an opportunity, okay, to put together a police training bill, at least the bill, how would you go about it?
Well, very quickly, Chuck, the first thing we need to do is we need to recognize that we provide the resources. This is what I tell people. This country needs to take it seriously. If you take it seriously, safety, here's what you do. Provide the resources. And we're not talking about that much dollars. Shoot, we're talking about nothing compared to what we left in Afghanistan. Provide the dollars to make sure officers are properly compensated for putting their lives on the line every day, first of all. Second of all, make sure they have every necessary piece of equipment to know that the community cares and they want them to come home safe to their families. Thirdly of all, let's make sure we provide the trainings on de-escalation. That is true. But clearly, man, we make it known to the public. We're going to teach our officers to de-escalate. If you want to pick a fight and you want to see who survives at the end of the day, it won't be you. We want to make the message loud and clear. And then fourthly, what we need to do is we need to make sure that the American people have the ability to be engaged with their law enforcement. I have said this before on your show, Chuck. It's time to bring back the posse. We need to have local citizens in every jurisdiction who are reserve officers, who are volunteers, who can help make sure their community is safe because the thin blue line is too low to be able to recover on its own.
And they've already gone through all the training, the necessary training, you know. Yeah.
Correct.
Well, you are the creator of Invest USA, and that's the organization that provides bulletproof vests to police officers throughout various charitable groups and sponsorships. How can people get involved in the sponsorship and the charity?
We'll go to our website. That's INVESTUSA.org. There's a list of things they can do. They can donate to make sure officers have the necessary protective equipment, the active shooter vest they need. But the biggest thing they can do, Chuck, right now is what we have been seeing, and we're very thankful that your listeners are responding. Tell our first responders, thank you for being willing to put your life on the line every day to serve. Even though you don't think you're appreciated, you are. We're going to turn this morale around, Chuck. Now, we are determined. We are not going to fail. We are going to succeed. And I begin to see things turning around already in a different attitude in America.
Yeah, fantastic. Invest, V-E-S-T, USA.org. Very easy to find and very easy to get involved with. And you guys are also involved with Twitter, right? How can people get connected with that?
Go to InvestUSA_org, and there'll be all kind of things you can keep track of. There's never a lack of things, Chuck, to comment on. I'll put this one little comment out there. I thought it was ironic that the president wanted to puff his chest that we had shot down a balloon from the Chinese government. Of course, we allowed them to take all the data and the pictures that they needed and send them back first. But I thought to myself, this is coming from the same person who allows the Chinese police to have presence on American soil and who allows them to do all kind of nefarious things to our American
people. No permission for that New York police office down there, which is a Chinese police office. Wow. All right. Hey, Michael, look forward to our next visit. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Chuck. God bless you and God bless America.
All right. InvestUSA.org. Judd Garrett is coming up next.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. Want to go to my guest right now, the one and only Judd Garrett. After 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he then began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, Cowboys, served another 12 years as a personal executive with the Cowboys. Judd, by the way, has written two screenplays, frequent contributor on the topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics, and No Wind, W-I-N-D, No Wind, is his first published novel. Judd is married, father of six children. And his blog is objectivityistheobjective.com. Welcome back, Judd. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Pretty good. The title that we're going to discuss right now, and we're going to try to get into a little bit of Super Bowl talk later, but Follow the Leader. Boy, that was a nice game to play when you were a little kid. Follow the Leader. But let us flash back to Tuesday night. How many people do you think want to follow the leader, Judd?
Well, not many, but it seems like our country as a whole is kind of being led by Joe Biden, and Joe Biden's weakness that he puts on display on a daily basis is causing America to be very weak on the world stage.
You know, I got to say that I kept looking for him to make a lot of mistakes, you know, whenever he was going back and forth reading the prompter. But he didn't do too bad. There was one big gaffe in there. But then again, I kept thinking about that old saying, how can you tell if he's lying? His lips are moving. You know, that's sort of definition that I think a lot of people have with the guy now, you know. It's his own fault, of course. But he's proclaiming the state of our union is strong. And just so many lies and so much money out there. Every time he mentioned another $1 billion, I could just hear the ka-ching. You know, that's Chinese, by the way, for the cash register.
Yeah, I mean, he says the state of our union is strong. And yeah, when I'm looking at it, and you can look at pretty much any issue, the state of our union has never been weaker, at least not in my lifetime. And, you know, from inflation to crime to the border to internationally, you name the issue, we have never been weaker. And he has the audacity to stand up there and say the state of our union is strong. I know he's probably obligated to say that, but we all know that that in and of itself is a lie.
Yeah. And then we come to the perfect timing. I don't know if they did it because it was the union speech was coming up or whatever, but here comes the big balloon across the United States. We should have got that rhino Republican, you know, Warren, and let her shoot it down with arrows.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, as you say, the state of the union is strong. It yeah. comes right on the heels of him sitting there powerless as our number one geopolitical enemy floats a spy balloon across pretty much the entire width of our country, and we do absolutely nothing about it. I mean, that wasn't more of an example of American weakness on the world stage as I've ever seen in my lifetime.
In your article, you say that this was purposely sent, this balloon, just in time for Secretary of State Tony Blinken, who was going to be visiting China. And you said it knowing that it might paralyze Joe Biden, which it did.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the president at that point, mm-hmm. and China just sent over a spy balloon, I call Tony Blinken back to Washington and say, we're not having this meeting, and I shoot the thing down. Okay, wait till it's over, a piece of land where there's no population, and it was over Montana for a long time. You could have shot it down safely then, and you make a statement on the world stage that we're not going to put up with this. But what does he do? He leaves Blinken over there, and he allows the balloon to fly over our country.
Yeah, and the balloon was a smart balloon, too, because it went over so many of our military establishments in the United States. It wasn't just one straight line. It was a very talented balloon, so to speak. We're going to get into much more of this. Judd Garrett, remember the website. It's objectivityistheobjective.com. Be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Hugh Jackman plays a high-powered businessman who's thrilled with his new baby and new wife, played by Vanessa Kirby, when his first spouse, Laura Dern, asks him to take in their emotionally scarred teenage son in the searing and unforgettable The Son, now playing in theaters.
What's going on?
I don't know what's happening to me.
You came to tell me what a good dad you are? What do you want? Applause?
It's my little boy. I can't give up on him.
Based on a stage play by director co-writer Florian Zeller, this is part of a trilogy that includes The Father, which won an Oscar for Anthony Hopkins, who makes a brief appearance here. In this film, all of the acting is award-worthy, and all the characters, despite their conflicts, are richly and sympathetically portrayed in a superb film that captures both the rewards and heartbreak of family life. 4 stars for The Son, one of the best films of 2023 so far.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Kaanapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Kaanapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Kaanapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Kaanapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett and discussing follow the leader. Apparently a lot of people don't follow the leader, pay attention to the leader, because you think about it, okay, the balloon went over Alaska, the Aleutian Islands, Canada, and then it was spotted in Billings, Montana, coincidentally near a military base that houses 150 Minutemen intercontinental ballistic missiles. And we found now that the stuff they got out of the ocean, you know, is that this stuff was transmitting directly back to China and no problems and all this stuff. But here's the thing. Who is the commander-in-chief, you know? Who's the guy, you know, that carries that little magic button that says you can do this or do that? Do you think, here he is, what was it? It was, he ordered it to be shot down January 28th, okay, when it was over the Pacific Ocean, but he failed to act. Oh, he could have done that. Then later on, Wednesday, February 1st, he said shoot it down. They didn't shoot it down. He's the president of the United States. Do you think this would have happened with Trump or Reagan or even outstanding Democratic presidential person? Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't think any of those presidents, I don't think Reagan or Trump or even Bush or even
Kennedy,
Clinton for that matter, would have allowed this to happen.
Not even Kennedy, you know. Look at, you know, the crisis with Cuba. You know, at least he got on the ball and got everybody in action to get down there and surround the island, you know, so to speak. Do you think, without any problem, he's the weakest president we ever had? Or, Judd, let me put you on the spot, is it possible that he's just the guy that's talking, but he's not the one pulling the strings?
I think there's a little of both. I think he's extremely weak because he's extremely corrupt. And in the end, when you're as corrupt as Joe Biden is, you don't have much power, because the people who know about your corruption, they can control you. And also, there are also other people behind the scenes pulling the strings. And I point directly to a guy by the name of Barack Obama. He's behind everything, and he's dictating most of the action in America right now.
And then when it comes to the Ukraine, I think that has a lot to do with Hunter and Burisma and what they have on him. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Like I say, how can you tell he's lying? It's when his lips are moving, you know, or at least he's transmitting whatever they want him to transmit, I guess. But he just...
makes no sense if you look at it. You have Hunter Biden, and we've talked about this before. You have Hunter Biden, who has no experience in the energy business. He gets this no-show job in Ukraine, getting paid $1 million a year by one of the most corrupt countries on the planet. And then when his father becomes president, we're funneling hundreds of billions of dollars of weaponry to that same country. I mean, all the pieces are there. I mean, the corruption just leaps out at you. And anybody who wants to deny that there isn't a connection to Hunter Biden's corrupt dealings in Ukraine and all the money we're giving them during this war, you know, is completely blind.
Yeah, and the money, I mean, wow. It's just the entire speech, you know, it was like you just could hear this cash register going off. You know, a billion here, a billion there, a billion here. And then he comes up and says, oh, yes, and the Republicans, a lot of the Republicans are trying to get rid of Social Security, you know, and things like that. And total lie, you know. It's just, and he's still pushing it today, even though it's been, you know, debunked. He was pushing it again, I guess, yesterday with some speech about, I have the papers, and you can come to my office, and I'll show you, two or three Republicans might have said, what can we do with Social Security, make it better? And maybe that's all there is to it, you know, but boy, and he gets away with it.
I've never heard a Republican, at least recently, talk about getting rid of Social Security. They've talked about, we have to reform it, we have to make it better, we have to make it work better for the American people, which I think everybody wants to be done, but that doesn't mean cutting it or getting rid of it. So everything he says is a lie. If you want to talk to the Republicans about what they want to cut, there's a laundry list of just wasteful Democratic government spending that they would take, you know, the scissors to and cut dramatically, but has nothing to do with Social Security or Medicare.
Yeah, and then when and you mentioned here, like, let me see here. Whenever they went into the Ukraine, our weakness, you say, on full display in February 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine. Nothing from the president, you know, but just keeps pouring the money in and pouring the money in. And then he starts giving weapons, like that's a big deal. But even Obama was worse whenever Russia went into part of that area. He just said, go ahead. You know, like, I'm not going to do anything. Man, I'll tell you. But they still get elected, don't they, somehow? Somehow, yes.
Yeah, it's amazing. The Russians attacked Ukraine and went into Ukraine and seized territory in Ukraine on two different occasions during the Obama administration.
Right.
And then Trump takes over for 4 years, and Russia does absolutely nothing to Ukraine. And then Biden takes over, and about a year after he's in office, they do a complete invasion of Ukraine. So if you want to understand what showing strength on the world stage means, it means that you're able to keep countries like Russia in line, and that's what Donald Trump did. But the weakness that Biden showed, the weakness that Obama showed for 8 years,
yeah,
invited the aggression that the Russians have shown into Ukraine.
And you say, why do you think Biden administration has been sending China hundreds of millions of barrels of oil from our strategic oil reserves? And, you know, most people should know what the strategic oil reserves are for. And it's for an emergency for the United States of America. It's not that China needs the oil, I don't think. I think they just said, let's see what he'll do, you know, and said, yeah, here we go. And what about TikTok? You know, already proven that it's spying on America, but he won't do anything about it. Didn't Trump, whenever he first came into office, he made some statement about TikTok that they were getting out of it?
Yeah, he talked about banning TikTok in the United States, and he tried to get it done. Now, it's not that easy. It's easier said than done, but he took an effort to try to get that put down, because it's not just the social media app. It's a tool that China is using to spy on the American people. And it's a national security risk. But I mean, you listed some of them. You know, Biden is sending oil from our strategic reserves to China. He's not taking down TikTok. He's allowing Chinese nationals to purchase farmland in the heartland of America. He didn't shoot down the balloon. And every step of the way, Biden is showing extreme weakness to our number one geopolitical foe in China. And the reason I believe that he's so weak with China is because, like Ukraine, he and his family are compromised by China because of all their corruption.
And in your excellent piece, you state, what legitimate business or person would give millions of dollars to a crack-addicted, prostitute-addicted man with no experience unless he was connected to power that they could exploit? Right there.
And that's Hunter Biden to a T. I mean, they're you know, and we've talked about this before. I mean, Hunter Biden, you know, basically paints paintings that my six-year-old daughter paints, and people are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy that. They're not buying the painting; they're buying the influence to Joe Biden. That's what they're buying. That's why every single one of his buyers of the paintings have remained anonymous, because if we found out who they were, we'd be able to track what type of influence they're getting from the White House because they purchased that painting. It's blatantly corrupt, and no one on the left-wing media says a word about it.
But then I got to give you credit, because you did talk about how Joe Biden didn't take him any effort at all to really get involved in one project. Let me look up this project here, listener. Let's see. Joe Biden was more decisive in shutting down. Okay, wait a minute. What did he shut down? Balloon? Shutting down the Keystone XL pipeline in Montana. Yeah, I think that only took him about 4 hours after he was sworn in or something, you know?
Yeah, it was the exact day he was sworn in. He signed an executive order to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline. That was the most decisive decision he's made since he's been president. And, you know, he cowered. He didn't know what to do when a spy balloon's over America. But he's going to shut down that pipeline within the first few hours he's president. And why is he doing that? It's another sign of his corruption, okay? He is beholden to the far-left wing of the Democrat Party, who I believe not only stole the general election for him, but also stole the primary election for him from Bernie Sanders.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Keystone Pipeline, as I understand, I can't remember now if it was trains or trucks, but see, somebody had all the money that they were making moving that oil by train or by truck, and the Keystone Pipeline made it a lot easier and a lot safer, environmentally even, but yet he you know, tore it down because apparently they put in enough money to help get him elected president. I think that's the way it works. But don't quote me there, listener, but I'm pretty sure that's the way it works. I'll tell you. It's,
in my opinion, we have never had as corrupt a president, at least in my lifetime, as Joe Biden. I mean, his corruption just leaps off the screen in every aspect of his presidency. He's compromised and he's corrupt.
Yeah, you know, and Clinton had his big problems, you know, and then Hillary, she had hers too. But I think Biden right now would have to be the king of all of them. Unbelievable. And just the way he makes these things up. You know, they're talking about this Republican that got nominated, you know, or elected, you know, the one that lies all the time. And it's funny because, I mean, his lies are outlandish. You know, it's a wonder he's not doing open-heart surgery. I don't think he's brought that up yet. But then again, Biden, you know, he's always had this problem. Plagiarism, even whenever he was in college, you know. It's just like something in his bloodstream, I guess. And then when you have a son like he does, you know, it's just wow. I don't know how much fault it is of Joe Biden personally, but I think it's at least 80%.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going nuts over George Santos, like you brought up, because he lied on the campaign trail about his background, and yeah, that's serious stuff, and we should address it. But, you know, compare his lies to all the lies that Joe Biden has told over the last 40 years, and it doesn't even compare. I mean, Biden has lied 10 times more than George Santos ever thought about lying. Okay, and George Santos is a powerless, you know, congressman from New York, and Joe Biden's the most powerful man in the free world. And we're more concerned about George Santos' lies than Joe Biden's lies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and when you compare Biden, you know, with President Xi and China, you say the United States of America is weak because its leader is weak. And those people who own Joe Biden have agendas other than is what is best for America. As opposed to our president, China President Xi is strong because he actually puts his country first. He protects his country. He identifies threats to his country, combats them accordingly, and he doesn't sell influence to enemy countries the way our president has for decades. I think even Russia bends down to Xi.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said. I mean, I don't like dictators. I think they're evil.
Absolutely.
But there's something to be said for the fact that he puts China first, and every decision that he makes is going to be, at least in his opinion, what's best for China. Whereas our country, our president doesn't put America first. He usually puts America last. He makes decisions which are either corrupt or in the best interest of other countries, and sometimes even our enemies, and then we wonder why we keep getting weaker and weaker and weaker.
Yeah, just all the crazy things he's done, you know, and the Afghanistan withdrawal was one of very, you know, like, not one of, I guess the very first thing had to be the Keystone Pipeline. You just knew there were going to be bad days ahead just by that action. But then the Afghanistan withdrawal and giving them all of our weapons, it's like, here, congratulations. You have now got a brand-new supplied army in Afghanistan. Yes, wonderful. All right, the one and only Judd Garrett. Remember the website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Objectivityistheobjective.com. When we come back, I will pick Judd's brain on the upcoming Super Bowl. Yes, who's going to win? I see the thing they predicted that came out. We'll see how that stands up. Be right back.
No more mold. No more damage. No more outdated old bathroom. No more slipping and hurting. No more stress. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. Be stress-free. Call 800-973-5411. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. Ask about our military and senior discounts. Your dream bathroom in as little as one day. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Neverclear glass treated door. Call now for free premium color upgrades. 800-973-5411. Call BCI Bath and Shower, the leader in bathroom remodeling. Be smart, safe, and stay a step ahead of inflation with our interest-free financing options. Call 800-973-5411. Love your bathroom with free upgrades. Call 800-973-5411. 800-973-5411.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill, Colombo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Colombo's family Italian recipes? Colombo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Colombo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself. Colombo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Colombo's, mind your bend.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here with Judd Garrett. And as I have mentioned, he knows all things about football, player, manager, everything, right? Well, put him on the spot here. What I did, I went and checked to see what they were saying was going to be the score and all that stuff, you know. And the early version of, by the way, listener, the Kansas City Chiefs record, 16-3. Philadelphia Eagles record, 16-3, okay? And the early version of the NFL script, according to some of these people, say the Eagles are going to win 37-34. However, Judd, I saw the five commentators, you know, that always give their thing, and they have three for the Chiefs and two for the Eagles, which is just the opposite of what the other people. So is it, in your opinion, heads or tails? Is that normally how you determine who the winner is going to be?
No, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a pick 'em game. I think they're both evenly matched as far as level of talent on their team. I see it being a high-scoring game because both teams have explosive offenses. I think overall the Eagles are a more complete team. The Chiefs have a better quarterback. They probably have the best quarterback in the league, and they probably have the best tight end in the league. So that's to the Chiefs' advantage. But I think the rest of it, the offensive, defensive line, the receivers, the secondary, all go for the Eagles. So I kind of think the Eagles are going to pull this out, but it will be a high-scoring game, probably in the high 20s, low 30s, like that one guy predicted.
You know, and I read another thing where it said the Eagles, they're really good at sacks. You know, I think they were holding the record of the most sacks. Like they have 7 or 8 people that are just really good at getting in there and getting to the quarterback. And then the quarterback is really good at very long passes. That was mentioned quite a few times. So I don't know.
The Eagles got a really good pass rush, so they can get pressure on Mahomes and also find a way to cover up Kelce with double him or roll coverage to him and take him out. They'll go a long way for the Eagles winning. And their quarterback and the Eagles quarterback, he's got 2 really good receivers he's throwing to who can make plays down the field. So there will be some big plays in that game.
So the last time Holmes played was about 2 weeks ago, right? And he was really having a bad time there with his right-hand side and leg or something. Do you think he is fully recovered or just almost fully recovered?
I think he's recovered enough to be effective. The issue is that it was a high ankle sprain, which takes usually about 4 to 6 weeks to recover from, and he's only about three and a half weeks out from the initial injury. So I don't think he's completely healed just yet, but he'll be moving around a lot better than he was in the AFC Championship game.
So am I going to expect that somebody's going to be hiring you because they're hearing you on the show when you start talking about football again? And you're going to say,
I don't know. Sorry. I don't know about that.
Would you ever go back full time?
I think under the right circumstance, I would. I mean, you know, the NFL is a hard job. I mean, you know, there's a lot of days every year where you're working 18 hours a day and just grinding it out, and you don't get to see your family very much. It's a hard job. It's a hard lifestyle. I would go back if the situation I felt was right, but you know, I'm doing other things right now, which I'm enjoying. So we'll see.
All right. And the father of 6 children, you have a lot to enjoy. All right. Judd Garrett, please go to that website because this guy, he knows how to write. Objectivity is the objective.com. All right. Thank you very much, Judd. Look forward to our next visit.
Thank you.
Okay. It is the one and only the Duke right around the corner.
Are you tired of your favorite talk show sounding like...
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Swayed at the Network, and we are live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Well, it's time again, ladies and gentlemen, for the one and only Mr. Selwyn Duke. He's a writer for The New American, and Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Sinage Learning. And he also appears on television, frequent guest on radio. And it is my privilege now to say, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, 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 Duke, Duke.
You there, get in line, march right, get there, come on, hurry up, get in there, get in the formation. All right, sound like Duke. Yep, you could march to that song. Hey, Selwyn, how are you? How are you?
Well, Chuck, I'm still dancing, so hold on here. Don't interrupt me like that now.
All right,
I'm okay, Chuck. How are you?
The guy you're dancing with looks real nice, too. I just wanted to compliment you on
it. It's George Santos. I'm in New York, you know?
Yeah, George Santos. I'm an expert dancer. I won 12
he is, according
trophies
to him, right?
In one night, yes. And how many did they give away? 10 trophies, and I won all 12. Yes, okay. Thank you. Embellish upon it. Yes.
Good one.
I work on it. Yes. Well, let's see here. Let's do a little research. I think this is your latest. Research confirms stereotype. Liberals confuse emotion with rationality. Yes. Is that possible? Yeah, this is your latest, right?
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. And Chuck, that must come as a shock to you that liberals confuse emotion with rationality, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no one ever got that feeling before. We definitely needed research to find that out. But anyway, yeah, when I saw this topic, I said, I'm just going to have to cover that because what have I been talking about for decades, how emotion reigns in our time and how liberals epitomize the emotionalistic mindset. Well, anyway, Chuck, this research was published in the Journal of Motivation and Emotion. And what they say is that liberals are much more likely than conservatives to say that emotion is functional. And they define that as meaning, quote, beneficial for individuals for adapting to the environment or attaining their goals. And anyway, I'm not going to bore people with all the details, but basically what they did was they analyzed three different studies that evaluated liberals and conservatives and asked them questions relating to these things. And they write, quote, across all studies, the more liberal participants were, the more they viewed emotion as functional, despite reporting less emotional well-being. These results suggest that emotion is viewed as more functional by those who prioritize the needs of the individuals, but as less functional by those who prioritize the cohesion of social groups. And this study, the authors, they also admit, quote, relying on feelings to guide thoughts and plans may be functional from the perspective of the individual, but threaten the cohesion of social groups. And of course, what do we see today? The cohesion of our nation is just breaking down right and left. Now, I took a little issue with their characterizations of liberals and conservatives, as you know, Chuck, in the article. I just pointed out that there's a lot of hypocrisy here on the part of the left because liberals don't actually, in a blanket sense, prioritize, quote, the needs of individuals, Chuck, as you and I both know, because they don't, for instance, care at all about the needs of those who oppose their politically correct agenda. They try to cancel them. And now that we're talking about that, leftists also very much care about the cohesion of certain social groups, and that would be woke social groups, and that's why they cancel people. But anyway, let's get back to this study. So the researchers were saying that our society in the United States and the West in general is becoming increasingly polarized, and they think that part of that might have to do with the fact that liberals and conservatives conceptualize emotions' role differently. And they illustrate this divide, for instance, by mentioning the conservative meme, facts don't care about your feelings. And then I added, well, you know, it's interesting because Bill Maher, the comedian who sometimes espouses some common sense oriented sentiments, said something very profound relating to this recently when he was railing against wokeism. He said, you can't change reality by screaming at it. That's a good line.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they also said, these researchers, compared to conservatives, liberals are guided more by their current emotions when evaluating political policies. Again, surprise, surprise, right? Meanwhile, they say, quote, conservatives place greater value on self-control. Never would have known that. I guess that's why, on the one hand, Chuck, we see Tea Party rallies, the ones we had years ago, where conservatives would demonstrate, and then they'd leave the area nice and neat, pick up all their garbage. And then at the other end of the spectrum, we see the BLM riots of 2020, right, where they basically ravaged the whole country and destroyed billions in property. But anyhow, so the authors conclude, Chuck, that their, quote, findings suggest that though liberals view emotion as a feature of rationality, conservatives view it as a bug. Okay, so anyway, they also mention that liberals view emotion as a healthy source of information about the self that provides direction in life rather than as a weakness and a waste of time. So here's the thing, though, Chuck. What should be our correct conceptualization of emotion and rationality? Well, you and I discussed this not long ago, I think about a month ago, and let me just restate what I said back then because it's very, very important, I think. The analogy I always use is, it's as if the intellect is the engine and emotion is the fuel. Now, if you just have an engine all alone, it's an impressive mechanism and it has great potential, but it has nothing to animate it, so it's impotent, right? If you have fuel alone, though, well, you've got something that's powerful and explosive, but without an engine, it has nothing to channel its power, so it can only be destructive. It's only, Chuck, when you have both together, each performing its proper role, that you achieve the desired effect. Okay, so literally,
like
what that
saying,
means,
right? Can't we all just get along?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember
so,
that one.
Chuck, which one of us is the engine and which one of us is the fuel in this thing and on this show? That's the question.
Wow. Well, I let's see. That's a hard thing. Let's see. The engine or the okay. Well, I used to
I think we try to be both.
I used to play Indian when I was little, but that wasn't an engine, so boy, it is close, yes, but I think you're the fuel, definitely.
Okay. I think you're the big engine that could, not the little engine, the big engine that could. But anyway, literally put, what I'm saying is this. The emotion's role is to provide the impetus to act, the passion, once our intellect has determined what the action should be. And this relates to something that the research paper authors stated themselves, okay? Now, they said that traditionally our civilization has valued stoicism, keeping a stiff upper lip, and has discouraged emotionalism. But then they say recent academic approaches, while acknowledging that emotions are not always helpful, portray emotion as an essential suite of processes that evolve to guide people's thoughts and plans in a manner that helps them achieve their goals. Okay. But what I pointed out in my piece is, in reality, what they're saying is exactly what I said via my analogy. For instance, they provide this example. They write that anger directs people's attention to and motivates them to overcome obstacles to their goals. Well, exactly. That's exactly what I was talking about. In this case, Chuck, anger is the fuel that motivates, that moves us to act on what, if the goal is valid, is a rational aim that would pass intellectual muster, okay? In fact, in certain instances, we might even call such anger righteous anger, right? That's a term we use. On the other hand, the authors give us another example, Chuck. They say that, quote, fear motivates people to avoid danger, okay, as if that's a good thing. They didn't elaborate. Well, what I pointed out is, while that's true, what else can fear do? It can also inhibit people from taking necessary risks to advance the common good. In fact, fear can also stop us, Chuck, from pursuing beneficial endeavors that don't really pose any danger. And we call this irrational fear. Now, here's the thing. How can we know the difference between rational and irrational fears? By applying rationality, which means that which accords with reason. And this is done through the use of the intellect. So again, that analogy I presented is perfect as far as this goes. It accords with what these researchers have said, really. But it's interesting, Chuck. Stop me if I'm going on too long.
No,
because I'm sorry.
Because
you may
in
want
fact,
to say something.
You're getting to in a moment, something, you know, that always gets my attention, and it's animals, because when you start talking about fear,
animals get your attention. Is that why I'm always on your show?
Yeah, you are an animal.
I am. But, you know, it's interesting, Chuck, though. This emotionalistic mindset didn't start in recent times. In fact, it dates back at least to the Romantic period, which was approximately 1790 to 1850, where they de-emphasized rationality. Some people say it was a rebellion against the Enlightenment, which preceded it, and they emphasized emotion. And this whole movement was maybe well epitomized by French symbolist poet Charles Baudelaire. He said, "Romanticism is precisely situated neither in choice of subject nor exact truth, but in a way of feeling." Feeling sounds familiar, huh?
Yeah.
Just like so many liberals today. But I mentioned animals in the piece, and what I mentioned is that, you know, you have to realize, what are we talking about when we emphasize emotion in a way where we're taking it out of its proper role, and it does have an important role? Well, animals have emotion. They often exhibit anger, for instance, right? In fact, it may be all they have. And I have a cute little segment in my piece. I wrote, "A mouse will not, apologies to Mickey, Minnie, and Mighty, see a cat and think, this is Felis catus. He has claws and fangs, is far larger than I, requires sustenance to survive, and is a carnivore. And since I, musculus, would provide ideal nutrition for him, I'd be prudent to flee this area post-haste, lest he rend me limb from limb." No, a mouse doesn't do that. Animals don't have reason. If they don't feel fear, they don't run and they get killed, okay? But on the other hand, a pet, for instance, might run from you even when you're trying to help them. So the animal doesn't have an intellect to intervene and try to mediate between the emotions or determine which emotions should be acted upon and which emotions shouldn't be, right? Similar to this, in a similar vein, children, consider them. They're more emotional than adults. They exhibit extremes ranging from tantrums to exultant joy. But as they age, as they mature, they start to regulate these things, Chuck, more and more as they move towards and through what we call the age of reason, which they say is around 7 years old. Now, what's my point here? My point is our time's exaltation of emotion, okay, and our subordination of reason to it, okay, is a very destructive thing because it constitutes movement toward a childish or even animalistic state. That's what it does. And you know what? We saw this in a recent story where the Washington State Department of Health, Chuck, actually issued a climate curriculum that counseled teachers to emphasize emotions over rational thinking. Very dangerous when we take emotions out of their proper role. They have an important role, but they must perform that role, and we must let the intellect perform its role. Very important.
Yeah. You know, when I first saw the words health, climate, curriculum, okay, when I was reading this, I thought, uh-oh, global warming has something to do with all, but thank God it didn't. All right. Coming up on that break here, and what was your very last quote on this, and today's liberals epitomize?
Yeah. Go ahead. That today's liberals epitomize this explains why some have likened them to oversized children who've grown up but not wise, with an age of reason ever lying somewhere beyond the normal lifespan.
Yeah, and good luck on separating them when they get together. All right. Hey, Selwyn Duke's going to be back in another good one. Talking about George Santos earlier today, guess what? He's popping up in the next report from the Duke. We'll be right back.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and the website Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. And now we go to your lying eyes, I guess. That would be the short version of this one. Selwyn's article, should George Santos have taken lying lessons from Barack Obama? Yes. Oh, boy. They're everywhere, aren't they, Selwyn?
They really are, Chuck. They really are. I guess we could say here, Georgie Porgy told a lie, then won office and made pundits cry. But anyway, you know, it's interesting. I didn't say much about this fellow or really anything for a long time, Chuck, because I adhere to that old adage, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. But then I realized, you know, everyone's missing the point here. And what really is the point? And I'm sick and tired of hearing about Santos, and I'm going to explain why. Now, we all know he's been a very, very bad boy. In fact, he's been so naughty that pundits in the middle, right, left, you name it, have been railing against him. And a lot of them say he should be removed from Congress. And why? Because they are deeply offended, these people. I mean, down to their very souls, Chuck, that Santos is the George Costanza, and that's of Seinfeld fame, of politics, and that he fabricated his resume while seeking office. But what is their great revelation? Well, it's this. Get this. A politician lied.
Oh.
Whoa. Stop the presses. Stop the presses. You know, I can just hear the ghost of Captain Renault, that's of Casablanca fame, exclaiming in the halls of Congress, I'm shocked, shocked, to find that lying is going on in here. You know, are we going to recover, Chuck? Now, again, I just want to preface this by saying, look, I don't endorse what Santos did. I'm with Jordan Peterson, the famous psychologist. Telling the truth is very, very important. In fact, it's critical if you're going to have a functional society. But this has to be put in perspective, because if you want to clamp down on Santos, then let's apply that standard to all these politicians, okay? And let's go on with this. Now, look, I understand Santos has taken having a, let's say, flexible relationship with truth during resume enhancement to levels, Chuck, that we haven't seen since the young Frank Abagnale. Now, he's that guy who is in that movie Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, so Santos has lied about things ranging from working for Goldman Sachs to graduating from Baruch College to being a landlord to even saving 2,500 dogs. He claimed he did that. And here's the kicker, though. This is sort of funny because this really illustrates, Chuck, how times have changed. Santos has even had to defend himself now against claims that he's not actually a homosexual. They say, oh, he married a woman at one time. This is what our times have come to, where you're going to say, really, I swear, I'm a homosexual. Vote for me. But you know, here's the thing, though. I point out in my article, if we think about it, though, Chuck, it really might be refreshing that unlike, let's say, Joe Biden, Andrew Cuomo, Governor Kathy Hochul of my state, Representative Adam Schiff with his Senpaku eyes, and Governor Gretchen Whitmer, the Wicked Witch of the West in Michigan. Unlike them, you know, Santos at least wears his personality disorder very, very openly. That's sort of refreshing.
And he doesn't even blink, you know. Doesn't even blink.
No, he doesn't blink.
He's got it down.
But one person who doesn't agree with us is longtime pundit Peggy Noonan. Now, Noonan used to be a speechwriter for Ronald Reagan, and basically she's been getting by on those credentials for a long, long time, and she's way past her sell-by date. But anyway, she said even though she's ostensibly a conservative, it's a mistake to let Santos remain in Congress, and she called it deeply stupid. And here's the case she made in the Wall Street Journal on Sunday. She wrote, George Santos was never elected to Congress. A nice young man, 34 years old, a conservative who'd struggled against the odds, the son of immigrants, born in some want, an ethnic minority whose grandparents fled the Holocaust. He rose to be educated at one of New York's greatest private schools, to be a star athlete at a great college, earned a master's in business administration, forged on to become an impressive figure in finance with positions at Goldman Sachs and Citicorp. He came to own mansions on Long Island, only in America. That's who was elected. That's who won by 8 points. But that man didn't exist. Now, that's what Peggy Noonan wrote. Okay, but here's what we could also say, okay? There's another politician we could say a similar thing about. How about this? Joe Biden was never selected president. A nice elderly man, 78 years old, a moderate who had been sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home, he said, who was arrested in South Africa while trying to see Nelson Mandela, who had a son who died in Iraq, who faced down gang leader Corn Pop.
He pulled you said it right there. Okay, hold it, because when you say Corn Pop, boy, I got to meet that guy one day. We're going to let you continue with the rest of that one. Almost thought you were going to get it right to the, well, never mind. SelwynDuke.com. Selwyn will be back with the rest of the story. That's truthful.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Hugh Jackman plays a high-powered businessman who's thrilled with his new baby and new wife, played by Vanessa Kirby, when his first spouse, Laura Dern, asks him to take in their emotionally scarred teenage son in the searing and unforgettable The Son, now playing in theaters.
What's going on?
I don't know what's happening to me.
You came to tell me what a good dad you are? What do you want? Applause?
It's my little boy. I can't give up on him.
Based on a stage play by director co-writer Florian Zeller, this is part of a trilogy that includes The Father, which won an Oscar for Anthony Hopkins, who makes a brief appearance here. In this film, all of the acting is award-worthy, and all the characters, despite their conflicts, are richly and sympathetically portrayed in a superb film that captures both the rewards and heartbreak of family life. 4 stars for The Son, one of the best films of 2023 so far.
Do you remember Herbert W. Armstrong? Do you remember his magazine, The Plain Truth? His television program, The World Tomorrow? The one and only possible message of world peace?
Tomorrow. Now we're living in the most serious, the most momentous times of the history of this world.
Those who heard Herbert W. Armstrong speak remember the depth of thought, the clarity of expression, and the power of his message. He spoke for God. God warned this world through Herbert W. Armstrong, and he gave hope to this dying world through Herbert Armstrong. What happened to that ministry? What happened to that message? We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international,
International is DeGaulle Smart Fares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and Smart Fares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call Smart Fares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here with Selwyn Duke, regular here on Fridays, but next week we plan on getting together on a Wednesday. Yes, yes, so that sounds real cozy to me.
Yeah.
This
Absolutely.
One entitled...
Middle of the week.
Yeah. Should George Santos have taken line lessons from Barack Obama and talking about, you know, how he lied so much? I'll tell you what, why don't you do the whole thing about Joe Biden was never elected, because you... kind of rushing through there, you know, for the break, because this is so interesting, and especially Corn Pop. I hope I get to book him just one time on the show, you know, see if he's still alive.
That would be good if you could get the real Corn Pop, so we could get the true story, and we might hear, yeah, Joe was scared as could be. He was down on his knees begging, hey, man, don't kill me. Come on, man.
You know
Come
what
had
happened, though? I'd get a liar that would claim he was Corn Pop, and then I'd say, and what is your name again? You go, my name is Corn. Did you hear it? My name is Corn.
I was about to do that.
Corn Pop.
You've got to see if he can really pop.
Yeah, if you can't pop, you're not corn.
That's right.
But you can do porn.
But,
okay, go ahead. Anyway, Joe Biden never elected president, a nice elderly man, 78 years old, a moderate, and you take it away, okay, because it's his resume.
Right. I was just doing what Peggy Noonan did with George Santos, a moderate who had been sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home, was arrested in South Africa while trying to see Nelson Mandela, who had a son who died in Iraq, who faced down gang leader Corn Pop. He pulled himself up by his bootstraps. He was offered a job by an Idaho lumber company, used to drive, quote-unquote, an 18-wheeler, rose to be in the top half of his class at Syracuse University College of Law, and was appointed, quote-unquote, to the Naval Academy, only in America. That's who was selected. That's who won by 4 points. But that man didn't exist. You see, my point is that Joe Biden did exactly what George Santos has done, maybe over a longer period of time, but he's done the same thing. So we could put it this way, Chuck. If Santos read The Secret Campaign Life of a Political Walter Mitty, well, Biden wrote that book. Okay? Now, it's interesting because if you read the New York Times, if you have that addiction, if you're a masochist, you'll notice that when they talk about Joe Biden and his prevarications, they say that this simply amounts to, quote, embellished narratives. That's actually the term they used, embellished narratives. Well, except, I guess, when George Santos does it, right? Then it's something else. But anyway, I pointed out in my piece that according to the liberal Washington Post, get this, Biden also made 67, quote, false and misleading claims in just his first 100 days in office. Okay, but let's leave poor old Joe Biden alone, because here's the real point of the article. This is the true perspective, the insight I had, okay? Here's what George Santos didn't do. He didn't say, for instance, Chuck, if you like your doctor or healthcare provider, you can keep them. You know who did that? Well, Joe Biden's boss, Barack Obama, did, and it was a lie, too. And you know what else Santos didn't do? He didn't speak Ebonic style to a mostly black New Orleans audience and claim that the primarily black victims of Hurricane Katrina were being denied the aid that mainly white 9/11 and Hurricane Andrew victims got. Hurricane Andrew was in Florida, okay? Even though those Hurricane Katrina victims received more aid than New York City and Florida combined. Obama did that. I'm just giving you two examples of very egregious Obama lies. Now, Here's the difference between those lies and the lies told by George Santos. And I'm not endorsing either one. Both are wrong. But here's the difference, okay? Santos lied about his background to get elected, Chuck. Like I said, that's wrong. But think about this. If his votes in Congress align with his campaign platform, what's he going to be doing? He's going to be delivering on what he promised to his constituents. He's going to be doing the job he was elected to do, okay? But when a politician promises to deliver a certain policy but then does the opposite, it actually affects people's lives, okay? Because, and I'm harking back to what Peggy Noonan said about Santos, because then it's not just that the voters aren't getting the man they elected. They're not getting the legislator they elected. Right. And that's the point. The Obama lies had to do with policy, things that really affected people's lives. Again, if Santos goes to Congress and he votes conservatively, like he promised, at least he'll be doing the job his constituents elected him to do. And that is a profound difference. Obama's lies are infinitely worse for that reason. I mean, Obama is someone who engaged in race baiting. That affects people's lives. It sparked violence. And by the way, just recently, Chuck, we actually had an incident where a physician, this was in California, I believe, in your state, was murdered, a white physician, by a black man who we hear yelled white privilege during the attack. Okay? This guy ran into this physician with his car. The physician was riding a bike, then got out of his car and stabbed the physician to death. Okay, so as I put it in my article, what's the difference between Santos's lies and Obama's lies and the lies of so many other politicians? Well, it's the difference between a doctor who lies about his credentials but then does a good job with your surgery and one who's truthful about his background but then does what? Removes a kidney when he's been hired to take out your gallbladder. That's the difference, okay? So what I'm saying is you want to apply the standard to Santos, I'm all for it. And by the way, let me point out my father, who was rather political, Chuck, he said decades ago that he believed that any politician who was caught lying should be removed from office, okay? Now, I don't know how workable that is because who's going to define what's a lie in this day and age? But anyway, I'm all for it. But then we apply that standard not just to Santos, we apply it across the board. We apply it to Biden, to Senator Elizabeth Warren. She masqueraded as an American Indian for many years, benefiting herself through affirmative action that was meant for actual minorities. We apply it to Senator Richard Blumenthal. He's of Connecticut. He claimed to have Vietnam service that he didn't. It was a stolen valor situation. Okay? We apply it to all those people. And if you're not willing to do that, you people in the media, then I don't want to hear about George Santos, because all of this is pure and utter nonsense. Because I said a long time ago, Chuck, when we were discussing the view that we should have of politicians, I said, look, understand these people are tools. Don't get too emotionally attached to a politician. Don't get too emotionally involved, because politicians will disappoint you. They will tend to lie, all except for maybe a few. So view them as tools that are designed to serve a certain purpose, okay? You choose the best tool for the task that you could possibly put in your tool shed. If you can't get someone elected, then you can't put that tool in your tool shed. So you have to be realistic. And you don't replace that tool unless you can replace it with a tool that performs its function even better. That's the perspective you should have with all these politicians, because none of them are as pure as the driven snow. And yes, we should primary people like Santos when the time comes, but we shouldn't be electing Joe Biden either. And we should primary the other people I mentioned, Elizabeth Warren and Richard Blumenthal, although you know, I'm not going to hold my breath waiting for that to happen. But yes,
you know, and
same
and speaking,
standard for everyone.
Yeah, and speaking of people running for higher office, okay, Obama and Biden, you know, there was another one, Hillary, big liar, you know, all about, no, you mean, did I wash my computer, you know, whenever they were talking about how you got rid of all your stuff on the computer, and you know, this lady, unbelievable. And then you've got all the people that were tied up with the Russia, and all those lies that came out. I mean, it's amazing how many.
Yeah.
But I heard somewhere that if you're actually on the floor of Congress, if you tell a lie, you can't be held accountable. Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't, but I know they exempt themselves from all sorts of laws that the rest of us are subject to, so I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think they're even exempted from the Ethics in Government Act or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. And you mentioned
Hillary
Clinton.
They have a term called the heat of the moment, you know, I think that's what it was, in the heat of the moment. Yes. No, I didn't tell that lie. Or, no, I didn't kiss what's her name, the vice president's husband on his lips. No, I didn't do that. Oh, is that me on the film? Yes, okay. That was very strange,
yeah, that was
wasn't
very
it?
Strange, wasn't it? That was very strange.
I don't know what in the world, you know. Have no idea what caused that. Possibly, surely they're not having. Because how could anybody, you know, leave the vice president, cheat on her.
Well, it's funny because you know that when he kissed Kamala Harris, he was wearing a mask. They were both wearing masks. But when he kissed Jill Biden, then they were maskless. So that's interesting. But you mentioned Hillary Clinton and her lies, Chuck. Well, she also claimed to have landed in the Balkans under fire or something. You remember that?
Yeah.
And that turned
Ran
out to be a
airplane.
Complete fabrication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean,
what was so interesting was that somebody was actually filming, you know, inside the airport, the airplane, and you got to hear all the stuff going on. And, you know, gee whiz. I love it, though, when they get caught, but I don't love it when nothing ever comes of it.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, too, when you look at these people who lie. You understand the politicians do it to try to get elected. But then you have people like Brian Williams, the media figure. Remember when he told all those lies, similar fabrications, and then he was demoted? And I just think to myself, how insecure do you have to be to do something like that? I mean, here you're Brian Williams. You've got this high position in the media. You would think you would be very proud of that. But no, on top of that, you have to lie about your accomplishments. I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't do that. I just say, hey, listen, I'm no Indiana Jones. My life is not that exciting. If anything at all is exciting, it's my ideas. That's it. But I'm just sitting here in my apartment. You know.
Yeah, but then you say, here, hold my whip. When you say, I'm no Indiana Jones, hold my whip, and I'll...
Let's keep that between ourselves, Chuck.
Yes, I know. Well, you know what I used to do? You know, I'd go to, like, parties or when I was emceeing in nightclubs and stuff like that, you know, and some attractive lady would come up and start talking to me, and she'd say, like, well, what do you do? I'd say, I'm an MD. Oh, really, really? You know, for some reason, it just, you know, thrills them. If you're a doctor, right? I'd say, yeah, I'm an MD. And then later, you know, whenever they get all thrilled and everything and find out nothing was going to happen, I would say, music director. Yeah, at the country station or the rock station. Oh, you're a music director. Yes, yes. You know, I get to pick the top 10 survey that we're going to play. Okay. But it wasn't a lie, was it? An MD? I was an MD.
No, that's true. That's
now
true,
I'm
I guess,
a, now
right?
I'm a,
yeah, that's right.
What am I now? THS, talk show host. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I think I got it right.
TSH, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Talk show host. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I guess you didn't claim to be an architect, right? Like George Costanza, the character I mentioned earlier, that was his thing. He pretended to be an architect in front of the women.
I did have Tinker Toys when I was little.
Yeah, me too, and I had Lego blocks too.
Yeah,
I was good with them.
I wasn't good with Lego blocks because they... or blocking my legs, and I couldn't get close to the... Never mind. Let me ask you something. You want to do the parents on school board or the best and brightest? I'll leave it up to you. We can touch on it here. We got time.
Why don't we do the best and brightest? Because this is really going to shock people. I mean, really going to shock people.
It's kind of funny. That's the only one I didn't highlight. Take it away. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, this is... the best and brightest, coddled, entitled, drug-using illegals trash once trendy hotel on taxpayers' dime. Now, it's interesting, Chuck, because Biden said in 2020 that many illegal aliens, quote, are more American than most Americans are. That's what our dear leader said about us. Now, he didn't really define what American, quote, unquote, meant to him, but maybe he conceptualizes of our country as the world's flophouse soup kitchen and all-around sucker. I don't know, but... if the behavior of some of the migrants he's let into our country is any indication, that's the case. Now, you're going to love this. You're not going to believe it. Okay? So we had all these illegal aliens who've been streaming across our border. It was 4,500 a day, I believe, at least for a while. Maybe it still is. And then, of course, they were distributed to other parts of the country. Many of them made it to New York City. City authorities are overwhelmed. Well, the city has been putting them up at hotels, 26,000 hotel rooms at last count, on taxpayer dime. Okay? Get this one example. There's this once trendy Manhattan hotel that, according to a whistleblower, has become a wild free-for-all, as he put it, of sex, drugs, and violence after the city began housing these migrants there. Now, this whistleblower is Roe New York City worker. That's the name of the hotel, Roe New York City worker, Philippe Rodriguez. And he told the New York Post earlier this month, I'm quoting the New York Post, that migrants were throwing away tons of prepared food at the hotel, and said the facility has now descended into anarchy. I'm continuing quoting the Post. Chaos, total chaos, Rodriguez told Fox and Friends when he asked to describe conditions at the hotel. There's no accountability. There's no daily supervision to show these people that you don't destroy your hotel. You're only there temporarily. This is not your home. And he also said the employees endure a lot of disrespect from the migrants. And there are some nice migrants, but there's too much alcohol, too much drugs, and too much violence. And you have teenagers going into the staircases and making out like it's Lover's Lane. This is a free-for-all. So anyway, we had for a while dozens of migrants protesting near this hotel because they didn't want to be moved. But this is where it really gets unbelievable, okay? Some of these migrants were grateful to receive the free room and board, but according to Rodriguez, most of them are not like that. The overwhelming sentiment has been just complete ingratitude. He said, quote, their self-entitlement is beyond belief. They believe that the hotel is theirs, and they're going to do what they want. And our general manager doesn't really care about any of the workers' toxic conditions or hostile conditions. All he cares about is the money.
All right, break time here, Selwyn. And yeah. When we come back, are these the ones that moved out on the street and then eventually decided, let's go to Canada? We'll find out when we come back with Selwyn Duke. And the website is Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com. SelwynDuke.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Hi, this is Fred Dwyer talking about my favorite Italian restaurant, Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in downtown Fullerton. A fantastic place to eat. Come inside and dine in our Italian town square, complete with a 10-foot Christmas tree. That's right, 10 feet. Enjoy our food made from secret family recipes. Pasta, chicken, seafood, salads, and our delicious pizza. Incredible desserts, including my favorite, the tiramisu, flown directly in from Italy. Feel the spirit at Angelo and Vinci's, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton, California. Call 714-879-4022 or visit angelosandvincis.com. That's angelosandvincis.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, selwynduke.com. Continuing now with the best and the brightest, all gathered up, having fun on the stairways. Oh, my goodness. What a movie this could be, right, Selwyn?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I just mentioned that the manager of this hotel, the Row, New York City, only cares about the money. And what is the money like? Well, this is where it gets really shocking. At the Row, that one hotel, Chuck, it's costing taxpayers about $650,000 per what? Month? Week to house these people? Per night to house these illegal aliens. And that means it's ringing in at around $500 per room per night. Now, I said to myself, come on, this can't be true. This has got to be fake news. So I wanted to verify it. I checked out this hotel. Yes, it's got about 1,340 rooms, so that all adds up. $650,000 of the people's taxpayer money per night to house these people who should not even be in the country, who are ungrateful and who are trashing the hotel rooms. Okay?
So the money goes to the Ukraine, to that hotel, but will not go to getting veterans off the street, right? Or Social Security, you know? Some people say the veterans don't want to be moved, you know, but I don't know. I think they would go into hotels. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, under this administration.
Unbelievable, huh?
Yes.
So let's just conclude with this. So now let's go back to Biden's statement about how some illegals are, quote, more American than most Americans are because he explained they have done well in school, unquote, supposedly. Well, so did Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, by the way. But anyway, who is more correct, him or President Trump? When Trump said, when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people who have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with them. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. Who was more correct? Well, whoever was more correct, I think we know the answer. The bottom line is these invaders don't belong in our country, and Joe Biden is not doing his job. And in my view, he should be impeached for this because he is charged with the task of enforcing our laws as the head of the executive branch. If he's not going to do that, he doesn't belong in office. And the people who are pulling his strings certainly don't belong there.
Now, I mentioned a moment ago about one of the hotels in New York. They got fed up, and they decided they were moving to Canada. Do you know which one that was? It wasn't this one, was it?
No, I don't. I don't, but I think that's a great idea. I just want to endorse that policy. Please, all you illegals, that's very wise, very prudent. Please go to Canada because, you know, our country is a terrible place to be. You want to be in the great white north. Get up there post-haste.
I think maybe a bunch of Republicans could warm up those buses, right?
That's right.
Don't worry about getting a New York cab, okay? We'll get you over there. Don't worry about it, yes.
One-way ticket, my friend. I'll donate.
Do they get to see Niagara Falls before they, well?
On the way, yes, just briefly.
I'll tell you. I don't know. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot now, Selwyn, if you're ready. Are you ready?
Okay.
In case they were having a Super Bowl this weekend, which team would you pick?
Oh, gosh, I'm not a football fan, so I'll just say your team, Chuck. Chuck Wilder's team.
I see. I knew he didn't. He didn't have no idea there. See, every once in a while, yeah. Well, it's, what are they there? The Eagles? Yeah. The Eagles and those other guys, the Chiefs. Okay. The Chief Eagle.
Oh.
Yeah, and what's her name? That lady, she'll be, you know, there to umpire the whole thing. You know, the one that claims she's an Indian. Well, okay. We'll be looking forward to Selwyn next week. Going to be on a Wednesday, okay? Thank you, Selwyn. Appreciate it very much. Thank you, Swade. Thank you for listening. And absolutely no animals were injured during the production of this here program.